As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
Another week, another pod. We're back at it. Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash, Pucks and Seven. Follow us on Twitter. I'll say it. Ryan and Payton at Victoria Matiash. Instagram at PatesRP at Matiash Victoria. Catch us wherever you get your podcasts. Also on the SiriusXM app. We're going to go east to west, like I think we normally do. And last week's podcast, we tried to do a zippy one, right? But I think at the end of the show, I said, yeah, I kind of got caught on the way up the zipper. It was a little bit.
It hit a snag.
Yes. In a way where it was fine. We just, so much, sometimes we get going a bit more than others, and that was it. Anyway.
Well, we're both a couple of blabbers. That doesn't help. Our credentials, too, though. You are a host on the NHL Network on SiriusXM. I, of course, write for ESPN.com. I've done that a long time, as you have done your job a long time.
Yes.
And I also anchor the news at a major news station in Toronto. And we're starting with Toronto. Toronto was in Long Island last night. And I know you were admiring my, okay, we'll get to that in a minute, but you were admiring my jersey before we got on the air.
Yeah, because the last time I think you wore a jersey was the Panthers one in the playoffs, and I did
favorite.
Not like it. Look, it looked good on you, but the jersey's terrible.
That's because you're anti-palm tree on hockey.
It's jerseys, a palm but. Tree. It's a, yeah. Ooh, I'm scared. No, I mean.
Supposed to be intimidating.
Well, really? I think jerseys should be intimidating.
All right. I'm wearing a John Tavares jersey right now because, of course, it was a very big night for the captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs. We were all looking forward to it. He's in Long Island. The first team that he played for 9 years was a captain there as well. 2 points shy, 1,000, which only 98 other players in the NHL has accomplished. It's such an incredible milestone. And you're getting into the game, you're wondering, is this going to happen? Then he scored.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh boy, 999, that's very exciting. And then with just seconds left off his stick, and he knew it right away.
Oh, he did.
He knew it right away. Morgan Riley tucks it home and sending the game to overtime, which the Leafs did not eventually win. I think that's the only fly in the ointment for the story of John Tavares scoring his 1,000th point. But it's a very small fly. It was a great night all around. And we should also mention Dad's Night. So he's not only visiting his own team. The Toronto Maple Leafs fathers are on the road trip. His father is in the audience. Made it extra special for him.
Really special. Just everything you go through, through your childhood, you know, adolescence, and then, you know, obviously living a dream, playing in the NHL. You know, a place that, you know, like I said, he, you know, 9 years of my life. Family, my dad coming down here to visit, being a big part of that, you know, and have him here was tremendous. Especially, you know, he wasn't there for a lot of my minor hockey days, and just really special for him for a big one like that.
That's extremely well said, because you look back over, however, 98 players have hit the 1,000 point plateau. That's not a lot. There's been a lot more than 98 players in the National Hockey League over the course of time, but 98. And to do it, whether it's a goal, an assist, overtime, whatever it is, but to do it in front of your dad or your parent, whatever it is, mom, dad, sister, friends, and family. I think
to do it in front of family makes it extra special. 100%.
Extra special. And, you know, once again, to your point, Tavares knew that he got the assist, but it took about half a second before the Leafs did. And the screen, I was watching it, and Mitch Marner all of a sudden, wow. So he goes to the left, the screen, the camera's trying to follow him. Morgan Riley's thinking, oh my goodness. Yeah, and then I do like this. I don't know if you do, but I do like what they do now. They allow the players to come off the bench I think that's really cool. I really
they have to ask permission.
They have
Morgan
to ask permission.
Morgan Rielly asked permission. And right. I like the fact when they asked him after the game, oh, this was an organization thing. He said, no, we did it.
Yeah, exactly.
The players got together,
and you know
talked
what?
To the officials and said, if this happens, are we okay? They said, go ahead. Everybody appreciated it. The Islanders were fine with it as well.
Of course.
Because they're class acts. Hockey players are class acts. So, okay, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Sorry, I'm just hearing from last night still the fans.
We'll get to that. Yeah. In a minute.
Okay.
But a very special night for Tavares, for the Leafs. Again, not getting the win. It's not really the biggest deal. I know it matters to them. It's such a team sport.
But that's
magical
that's
all
their,
around.
That's their blueprint. They play extra time, and let's try to get an extra point.
Oh, so far it has been that way. Now, I know you still have a big beef about the behavior of some people, a good number of people, I would say, who attend games on the island.
Yeah, I do. Get over it. Get over yourselves. He left a while ago. He left for free agency for Toronto, a place that he wanted to play. He tweeted out that picture of him. I'm talking about John Tavares when he hit free agency and left the island, went to the Maple Leafs, signed that big contract. That's a different story too. Not a great contract, but whatever. He tweets out the picture of him in his pajamas and his sheets on the bed and everything in Toronto, and it was fantastic. The first game back for him after he signed in Toronto, he was booed, and he was booed emphatically. I totally understand that. There are some disgruntled fans, and you boo somebody if you like them. That's the way I look at it.
Your feelings are hurt. It's okay.
Give me a break. It's
your feelings are hurt. He chose another a partner
right. okay,
over
okay.
you.
Fair okay? enough. Fair enough.
It is
but,
fair.
But last night, enough. There's people still in the stands with Traitor on the back of their jerseys, a Tavares Islander jersey. I mean, give me a break.
It's a little rich at this point.
Give me a break.
He signed back in 2018.
It's over, Vic.
This is more than, I'm with you. This is more than 5 years on. And actually, a friend of mine, my friend Alan Creed, is a beat reporter for and covers the Islanders. He was at the game last night. So I asked him, I said, how was the crowd when he reached 1,000? Was it all booing? Some cheers? Was it mixed? He texted me back, mostly booing and very loud booing after number 1,000. And then he wrote, so stupid. I said, for all crying out loud. He wrote back, pathetic and disgraceful.
Uh-huh.
So this is somebody who covers the New York Islanders.
Yep.
But he's also a hockey guy. And then I asked him if I have permission to quote him on the podcast. And he said, yes, go ahead.
I'm glad you did.
So it's just, this is my point is, it's not everybody, obviously. Here's somebody who's very close to the team, who wants the team to do well. I mean, for his livelihood, if they have a long playoff run, he works more, right? Then you're very close to them all around. I really think this is a very small percentage of people who support the Islanders. I think a lot of other people would not boo John Tavares, might even cheer for him a little bit, especially if he gets 1,000 points in your barn.
Can I ask you something?
But I think the ones who are going to this game are buying the tickets. That's my point.
Yeah, they're goofs. Can I ask you something? Off the top of your head, because I can't think of this off the top of my head. But off the top of your head, can you think of somebody who signed with a different team in 2019, so almost 5 years ago, that is still mercilessly booed when he goes back and returns to the team that he left free agency from and went to another club?
Still, no.
Okay, this
I think
is
it's
my
a New York thing.
Oh my gosh, enough. Okay, so when Patrick Kane, if he goes back to the Rangers when Detroit plays, are they going to boo him?
He played 5 minutes for the Rangers.
It doesn't
so
matter.
Obviously
it's
not.
A New York thing. It's a New.
Okay. He did make the, but it's right. You're absolutely correct. He didn't demand a trade out of Long Island. No. He was a free agent. He can sign wherever he wants. I think it's ridiculous too. I also think that they buy a ticket. If they want to boo, they can boo.
You still listen. Boo.
Yeah, no, I know. I have a quick question for you.
Okay. Yeah.
Tavares Hall of Fame.
Oh boy. Every time I think about the Hall of Fame, two things come to mind very quickly. Number one, Stanley Cup, if they won any rings. And the second thing is the amount of points. Well, we know what the amount of points is. Every single member of the 1,000 club point club in the Hall of Fame? I don't know. Has he won a cup? No. Has he been successful on international play? Yes.
Yes, very much so, yes. So, Alexander McKinley has 1,000 points. He's not in the Hall of Fame.
And he's not in. Okay, so I would say yes, because I think 1,000 points and what he means to a team and how he's, I know this isn't part of the list of checking the boxes, but how he's carried himself and how he's just a real good ambassador for the game. I know that's not part of it, but I would say yes, but I think he could be kind of in the McKinley category where you're just waiting and waiting and waiting.
I don't think he's first ballot.
No. Gosh, no.
The other part of it is, too, he's 33 years old. I mean, he's not going to play another 10 years, but he's going to play another 5.
True.
So let's see what he accomplishes. If he helps the Toronto Maple Leafs to a Stanley Cup win, I think the conversation's over completely. I think he's in the Hall of Fame.
Right. I agree.
But the international success that he has enjoyed as well, I think the captaincy also helps. If he has another successful 5 years and he's not going to hit 1,600 or 1,700 points or anything ridiculous like that, but I think 1,300.
That's reasonable.
I think it's quite attainable.
Yeah.
And I think if he hits 1,300, I think he's going to be in. Again, not first ballot, but I think he belongs there.
And they'll still boo him at the Hall of Fame ceremony if New York fans...
They will not. Once he stops playing, it's going to end. No. Once he stops playing,
those fans are going to show up in tuxedos and beautiful dresses with Traitor on the back. I guarantee you.
All right. Anyways, congratulations, John Tavares. You know what I'm booing? I'm booing that absolute bloodbath that happened in Ottawa with the Detroit Red Wings over the weekend. That was a vicious, brutal game to watch. I know not the entire thing, but the one instance.
The parts we remember.
But the parts that we remember that are also reverberating now.
Yeah.
And watching Dylan Larkin go down like that, unconscious.
Yeah.
So we'll summarize. Matthew Joseph from the Ottawa Senators punches Dylan Larkin in the back of the head.
Yep.
Some other buddy I don't even know on this team, and I cover hockey, cross-checked him afterwards. And so whatever the combination of that 1-2 punch, literally a 1-2 punch, not figuratively, he goes down, he's out, took him a while to get back up.
And Parker Kelly.
Parker Kelly, that's right. So he's not a fantasy guy, so I don't write a lot about him.
No.
Anyway, he had to, so Dylan Larkin has to be helped off the ice. He basically doesn't know his own name at this point. You're looking at him and you're wondering, this is going to be bad. But then David Perron, his teammate, turns around and cross-checks Artem Zub, who had nothing to do with any of it. I mean, I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm laughing because it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Artem Zub was basically coming over to point down to try and help Dylan Larkin because he understood the seriousness of the situation. So for all that work and care, he gets cross-checked in the neck, face, head, whatever it was. Thank goodness he seems okay.
Yes.
And now David Perron is suspended six games for that. So you have to side with him a little teensy bit for caring and being very upset about what happened to his teammate.
Side with who?
It was David Perron.
Okay.
Just a little. No. You have to understand.
Yeah.
That he got worked up.
It's an
emotional
heat in the moment. I get it. Yeah.
But you can't do that.
No. Artem Zub going off the ice, probably saying, thanks, coach, for putting me on. Of all the shifts to put me on. When Larkin went down, you go to a lot of football games in Buffalo. You watch football. I watch football, too. It reminded me of a football player taking a hit and being knocked out. And you know, certainly a lot of bad things have come from that in the National Football League. I just wanted him to get up, and he did. And you're right. It was one of those things which was – some of the other players in the league over time that have had that happen to them where they've been either knocked out or where they look like they're seriously hurt, you don't see like full fisticuffs happen kind of after. Sometimes you do. But that was to your point about right at that moment, you didn't really know what was happening. But I'll go back to this. David Perron, the 6 games, I think it's great. I would have given him 10. Anytime the DOPS hands down a suspension, even a fine, I always think they should give more. When you have that stick in your hands, it is a weapon. And it doesn't matter. In the heat of the moment, it does not matter whatsoever. We can talk too about Gudbrandsen and all that type of thing, but that didn't have to do with the stick. But you just need to be better with that. So thankfully, everybody was okay, but that was ugly.
It was ugly. And unfortunately, it's not like Dylan Larkin is okay. He is out indefinitely, which I think we all could have predicted. I had to speculate on this for ESPN.com on Monday because we didn't get the prognosis and diagnosis yet of how long.
So what's your speculation?
I mean, we've now heard he's out indefinitely. But when I was writing, we hadn't heard a peep from the Red Wings yet.
Yeah.
And I said, he's going to be out a while. There is no way this guy's bouncing back from losing consciousness and having his bell rung to the nth degree and coming back and playing this week. It's just not happening. So now Detroit's without their captain. indefinitely. JT Compher's hurt. That's not great either. David Perron is now out. So they got Patrick Kane last week. Everybody got very excited. They've lost three in a row. They're losing important personnel. Well, their best player, I think, inarguably, in Larkin. And it's unfortunate looking forward. I really hope that we see him sooner rather than later, but I'm not optimistic.
Don't rush it. Whatever happened to him, don't rush that type of thing, because you come back, you're going to be gingerly playing and whatever. Anyway, they're going to put Patrick Kane's going to take the team on his back. You watch him, going to go on a 20-game run where he's going to get 40 points. I'm kidding. It's not going to happen, but I feel for him.
Patrick Kane plays center?
I'm just saying. You brought him
seriously.
In. Let's go. What, you had hip resurfacing? Don't worry about it. You're playing 50 minutes a night. Off we go. Do you agree with this? Kyle Dubas giving the thumbs up and the vote of confidence to Mike Sullivan being the head coach in Pittsburgh.
I wonder. Pittsburgh is struggling right now. I have a running tally. I've shared this with you over the weekend. Mm-hmm. The Pittsburgh Penguins have now not scored a playoff goal in 42,679 minutes.
Right.
Just to put that into perspective.
A playoff goal.
Power play goal. Did I say playoff?
Yeah.
Power
it's
play
okay.
goal.
Play, you're in. No, you're in that, playoff
it would be further. Would
I was
going to
say
back.
That is incredible.
They have not scored a power play goal in 42,679 minutes at November the 11th. So we're now over a month. We were talking last week. We were coming up to a month.
Yep.
Now, does that come down to Sullivan? They're also not winning games and they're not scoring enough altogether. So there's that as well. I'm not sure. I always like, we have been on all season about how you can't fire the coach when the players just aren't giving it enough.
Yeah.
It should fall more to the players. And outside of Sidney Crosby, you just don't see, and they've had some injuries as well, you don't see, they look floundering out there, Ryan.
No, it's different. It's
they
a different
look completely
team.
Disorganized.
And you know what?
And I don't know why.
It's a different team even from last season when they didn't make the playoffs and Crosby was absolutely ticked. And I know that he bumped up his offseason regimen, not that he needed to, and all this type of thing. He's doing what he can, but the numbers do not. I mean, look, 11, 12, and 3, 25 points in 26 games. They've lost four straight, three wins in the last 10. So, of course, when you look at that, you think that a coaching change has to be done. I'm interested to think that this was step one in Kyle Dubas looking at maybe replacing a coach, because he didn't bring that coach in. Mike Sullivan was already there when Dubas took the helm in Pittsburgh. I think to me that this was step one, and if it is, it's not the right way to do it. I think there's rumblings, and I think if things don't improve, I think it's going to happen.
What would you say, the new year? First week of January, second week of January?
Probably. The Penguins, I don't even know what place they're in right now in the standings.
They're in seventh spot. They have 25 points, but they are only six.
That's what
I was getting at. Capitals.
Yeah.
So the season is by no means a write-off.
No.
The Metropolitan Division isn't very strong. You've got the New York Rangers, you've got the New York Islanders. Flyers are just playing out of their minds right now.
Ridiculous.
Story for another day.
Yeah.
Good on them. I mean, absolutely, congratulations. But I also don't think it's sustainable for the Flyers. The Metropolitan, I think outside of the Columbus Blue Jackets, everybody has a shot here because the New Jersey Devils haven't played up to stuff. Washington Capitals are kind of hanging in there a little bit too, and they're at -8 goal
which
differential,
is
and they're somehow
bizarre.
It is very bizarre. So this is still a very... This is a division that you can make some hay in. But if you're going to find yourself halfway through January and you're still in seventh spot, I don't think that you can hold on to your coach if you're not enjoying success. And honest to goodness, they have to score with the extra skater. If you look at that group of
personnel,
Denny Malkin and Sidney Crosby, you got Chris Letang, you've got Eric Karlsson, you've got Gensel. They have to score with the extra skater, Ryan.
Yeah,
like, for goodness sake.
That is the biggest head scratcher, that they can't find a goal with that talent, that five-man talent on the ice. The one thing they do have, though, is a goalie that can score, right? So at least something's going right for them. I think though, if they, and you're right, that's why I was asking where they were in the standings, because I know that they're not 15, 20 points out. It's not like it's completely done. So they're still within striking distance, but the way Philly's playing and all these other teams, and the fact that did you say Washington was -8? Is that what you said?
Yeah, they're -8.
And they're in third or fourth?
Fourth.
Oh, my goodness.
But they're only...
It just makes no sense.
No, listen to this. They're only a point behind the Philadelphia Flyers in third.
Oh, that just makes no sense.
And they have two games in hand.
It makes no sense. How can you be a negative differential and be in contention? It makes no sense.
You win key games, but that's going to level itself out. The Washington Capitals are going to fall. I think that kind of goes without saying. Very quick note on that. Max Pacioretty is skating again, and that's going to be interesting for the Capitals. And I'm rooting for this guy. His Achilles issues for just the last little while have been brutal, and he is such an awesome player to watch. You want to talk about a goal-scoring goal scorer.
Yeah.
You know, he is just the best in the biz when it comes to that. This is a 40-goal guy when healthy. And if he can come back and actually contribute, they're taking their time with him very intelligently, but if he can come back for the Capitals or make his debut for the Capitals, we should say, he's never played a game for them, and he can contribute, then maybe it's a little bit of a different scene in Washington. Flipping back to Pittsburgh, what do you think about the Puljujarvi audition, we can call it?
You know, he's one of these players that I think he'll go down in history as one you just scratch your head and look at, why couldn't you do it? Why couldn't you make it work? I remember he was coming into the league and there was a ton of hype around him. There was. Especially, I couldn't even pronounce his last name, so that took about a year to do. But once I figured that out and spell it, but it's frustrating when I see somebody like that. He reminds me a bit of Nail Yakupov. And Yakupov came in with all that talent, and I thought he was going to be a stud. Never worked out. It never did. So
I will say this. I think he has a better attitude.
I think he does, and that's
Yakupov
a big thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No. Bit of a head case, and
of
he
course.
Is not. He's a, apparently, people really like the guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it a lack of killer instinct?
I'm talking more. Yeah, I'm talking more about the talent that you know it's there, and you just want to see it. Not only more, you want to see it consistently because he could be a very good hockey player.
I'm rooting for him.
I am too.
Because I've always had a soft spot for the guy in Edmonton. A couple of tours with Edmonton, actually. I've always had a soft spot for the guy, but now I'm wondering. You couldn't get it done when you were in the best shape of your life, coming into the league, and then growing a little bit through those first few years, and now you're coming off double hip surgery, and now you're going to figure out how to do it. So I'm a little pessimistic, but I also have my fingers crossed for this guy. And goodness knows if the Penguins can get something out of him, because he can play on the power play. I know I'm hammering this point, but it blows my mind the fact they haven't had any success. He can play on the power play. So let's see. I know he's going to be like a third line guy at even strength and all the rest. And he hasn't even made the team yet, really officially. He's still just skating with them. So we'll see what comes from that.
Fourth overall pick in 2016.
I always think third, but yeah, he was fourth. That's right.
And he's 6'4". I didn't know that. He's a big boy. You put that on skates. I don't know, 6'6", something like that. Very quickly before we get to some of the leaders in the scoring race, which one of them is Kucherov, which is amazing. Buffalo. Mm-hmm. Are they kind of turning things around in the right direction? Because they were 2 weeks ago, they were brutal. And now that I think they won two of their last three, something like that.
And they lost the game in overtime. So it's actually
so they get
five
point.
Of 6 points.
5 of 6 points.
And Levi's back in business. And it's nice to see him up there because we were worried about him. Devin Levi, of course, we're talking about their goaltender, seeing them back in business and looking pretty good in net. And they're getting a lot of contributions right now from the bottom six.
Yeah.
Which if that's what they need to do to get back on track. And Alex Tuck is coming back as well. So things are looking a lot brighter. They need to make some hay. They're also in seventh spot.
Yeah.
And they're in the Atlantic, not the Metropolitan. So it's going to be a little bit of a tougher climb, I think, over time. Because, I mean, you're battling the Maple Leafs. You've got the Lightning. You've got Florida, right? You've got Boston. So that's going to be tough. But they seem to be finally, I don't want to get prematurely excited because I do root for the Sabres. But I think they are now, they're looking like they're swinging in the right direction.
Rasmus Dahlin is an absolute beast. Over 25 minutes a night. And I understand when you're one of the best and youngest defensemen and you're a franchise defenseman in the National Hockey League, you play him. I think that's great. The thing, they need to score. I think they have only two players in double digits in scoring. And that's it. So it's something. I'd love to see them. I'm a big fan. You know this. And we've been talking about Buffalo last year, especially. Let's go kind of thing. Kucherov, Sam Reinhart, Nikita Kucherov is, do you remember Alexander Semin? Remember him?
Oh, of course.
Okay. So this is the same, but it's also different. meaning the talent level and the skill handle, the puck handling and the shot. I just thought Alexander Semin had all the talent in the world, kind of like a Kucherov. But the difference is Kucherov has turned that into something incredible, and Semin didn't. He was off and on, kind of not a Puljujarvi, but still different kind of thing like that. Anyway, it is. I love listening to him as well after some press conferences. He's such a neat, interesting individual.
He's got a lot of personality.
Yeah, he does.
Personality, and he's very candid, which I like.
And in this league, I do think sometimes he's lost in the McDavids, in the Matthews, even in the Crosbys, maybe in the Bedards this season. I do think so. Even though you look at the scoring rates and think, no, he shouldn't be because he's leading. I do think sometimes people don't give him enough credit as much as they should.
Thing? Is that because he plays in Florida?
Possibly.
I think if he played for the Rangers or Chicago or the Maple Leafs, I think it would be a different conversation.
Yeah, you're right. You're
I think
right.
It's a Florida thing. But what I think is really neat right now, he's tied in assists with Cale Makar with 28. He's tied in goals. This is top of the table, by the way.
Yep.
He's tied in goals with Austin Matthews at 19.
Yep.
You add all of that up right now, 47 points in 28 games. And he's, of course, leading the pack in that regard. So.
It's amazing. It is amazing to see. Also, too, Sam Reinhart, just wanted to quickly mention him. 37 points, 17 goals. He's a plus 18. We talk about plus minus, all that type of thing in 27 games for the Florida Panthers. I'm not saying that he deserves more credit than he's getting. That's not what I'm saying. But anyway, good to see
he's
some of the...
He's having a great season.
Getting
back to the Sabres, I rooted for him when he was with the Sabres for quite a while.
Yeah.
And I've always liked him as a player. Big, strong guy. And when he gets it going on, he's getting it going on right now. That was very poorly phrased, but everybody
understands. It's okay. I get it. I've known you for a while. I understand what the English and what you're trying to say out of your mouth.
Jeez. I don't know if I do, but anyway, he's got it going on now.
There you go. That's
and
why
I'll
tell
I'm you here. What, he also looks so good in that jersey with the palm tree on it. It's just...
Okay, carry on. So what we're going to do is we're going to quickly look ahead to a couple of key games. Toronto, New York in a second, but Pittsburgh, this is a big one. This is a big one because of specifically, Vic, what we just talked about with Sullivan.
They've been off since Friday, so they have an opportunity to get back to it. They've had the rest. They've had time to self-reflect, whatever they need to do. They've got Arizona on Tuesday, and then they play Montreal back-to-back on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Montreal has the third worst penalty kill in the league. You want to make
here
some
we go.
Special teams hay.
Here we go.
Here is your opportunity.
Oh my God. Imagine if they don't. Imagine if they don't. Come on.
Then maybe we're going to have the conversation later on about Mike Sullivan still being the coach of the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Or
they
the
have
power
to score.
Or the guy who runs the power play.
I wonder about that. They have to mess around with it somehow.
Yep.
And they've had 3 full days to do it.
Yeah.
So let's see what they got.
Yeah. We'll see. Toronto, New York, very quickly, the Rangers. Toronto, again, they had the Islanders and then the Rangers. That's going to be a tough test. By the way, the other day when Jonathan Quick played against the Kings, that was really cool.
It was really neat.
Yeah, even if he lost, it didn't matter. It was just, he's having a great season. Always loved the guy. I always said this, and then we'll go, because I know we're, again, trying to get the zipper up. It's not working. I always said this about him. He, to me, has been careful.
I don't think that quite came out exactly
No,
how
it didn't,
meant.
But people who know us, they know what we're talking about, I hope. No booing. Jonathan Quick, to me, has been, or he is one of the most, if not the most, athletic goaltender that I've ever seen. Athletic. I was going to go on, but
no, and we're going to cut it right there. So
cut.
This is Pucks in 7.
You take it. You take it.
We're going to take a tour through the Western Conference when we come back right after this.
Welcome back to Pucks in 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
I am Victoria Matiash, and you are Ryan Payton, and this is Pucks in 7. We just zipped through the East, and now we're heading westward. So we're just going to leave it. We're going to leave it. We're heading westward, and we said exactly the same thing. We did this last Thursday. It is Tuesday. It's Tuesday, we should say, December the 12th.
Right.
And how...
Yeah, we don't say the date as much
we
as
should.
We should.
We, yeah, we should. Okay. Yes.
From
and
now on.
Right. Maybe we can take care of such housekeeping things off the air. Let's make a note.
That's
of
probably
that.
A good. That's when most people do that.
Yeah, right.
Except
we
for us.
Mention the date so people understand what games are coming up in the evening and the next day, et cetera, et cetera.
We said this. We last do week. Housekeeping on the fly. Okay,
right.
Go ahead.
Very nice. My goodness, those Edmonton Oilers. Oh. We were talking about them last Thursday, and I believe they had won five in a row at that point.
Yes.
It was definitely four. I think it was five.
It was five.
And now it is seven straight. Ryan Payton, why? Why are they winning now? Tell me.
I don't know. Let's move on to Calgary. Right. No, I'm just kidding. This is a, I'm going to say head scratcher again, because I just like those two words in this podcast. This makes no sense to me. Because the Edmonton Oilers have not made a major move in the last 3 weeks or 2 weeks, besides the coach. They haven't changed the team. What has completely changed with Knobloch coming in and Woodcroft out? Is it attitude? Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I think so. I think they cleared their heads. And it's so much easier to continue winning than it is to start winning.
Absolutely.
Any professional athlete.
You just need like two or three, right? And then it's like a steamroll, a snowball effect.
It becomes a habit. Everything is a habit. Losing is a habit. You can ask the teams that are losing so many in a row right now, and winning is a habit as well. It's so much easier to keep it rolling than it is to get it rolling. And once they got it rolling a little bit with the talent on that team, when you've got the Draisaitl, McDavid, Nugent Hopkins, Hyman, Evander Kane, all they have to do now is feel good about themselves. They have confidence in each other.
Yes.
They have confidence in their netminder.
Yeah.
And that is the key to success as far as I'm concerned.
And one of the big things is the netminder, right? Goaltending was an issue. Campbell going down. Skinner, what is he going to be like? You know, I was looking at when we were talking about Kucherov and Sam Reinhart. Connor McDavid is tied for eighth in the league in scoring, which at this point last season and the season before, even when he was a little boy, maybe in the womb of his mom, he was still leading scoring.
Right.
He's that good. But 23 games and he has 36 points. So you just think for a second, if Edmonton was on a 7-game run, I don't know, say a month and a half ago, McDavid will be up there with Kucherov, hands down right now, approaching 50 points.
Do you think he catches him eventually? I do.
23 games. Kucherov has played five more. Kucherov has 47 points. McDavid with 36. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I think he catches him.
I think it's
him.
An easy catch. It's an easy catch.
Without falling hurt, we're going to say, I mean, we're taking into consideration a healthy season. Yeah. I think he catches him.
It's fun to watch because to your point when you said about everybody on this team is supposed to be good, and the team is supposed to be very good. Some people even have them representing the West in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Some people.
I've heard. Hold on. Is this thing on? I've heard that. What do you think of their Alberta neighbors, Calgary Flames?
Not doing as well.
Yeah.
Really disappointing on Monday night when they were ahead and they're up on the Colorado Avalanche.
Yes.
So
which is not
exactly
easy to do.
No, not a bunch of chumps by any extent of the imagination.
Yeah.
And they had a lead going into the third. They had a 2-goal lead going into the third. And then they gave up 3 goals unanswered in the third and drew yet another loss, 6-5.
Yeah.
If you were leading with a couple of goals in the third period and you just need to shut this down and they were unable to do it, they couldn't even push it to overtime, at least if you got away with the point. They just seem to be fumbling to me right now. It's very unfortunate because you could see the frustration on their face, but they are losing ground so fast in their division. And you thought that maybe there was a turnaround for a little bit. Goaltender breaks his finger, other stuff happens, and it just doesn't look very good anymore.
Numbers don't make any sense, and you said, too, that it's easier to play with confidence when you have, what, 2-3 wins under your belt in a row, and then you kind of extend it like Edmonton does. 11 times this season, Calgary has scored first. They've only won 4 times when they've scored first. I'm not saying that that's a huge statistic, but what it tells you is that they're not comfortable with the lead. They have trouble holding on to the lead. Kind of reminds me, too, of last year when they lost so many of those
One goal games
all the time. It's the same kind of thing. That there's not the consistency that we need to see from them. But
they look downtrodden again.
Yeah, same kind of thing. You set this up, the Mikko Rantanen thing.
Okay, so the Flames. I'll just mention one more thing. The Flames are 5-8-2 on the road. You got to be better on the road
because
they actually have a winning record at home, and they're just lousy on the road, and they need to be better than that. And they lost again. They lost to the Colorado Avalanche. And they lost Chris Tanev. It looks like at least for a little bit.
And
that's huge. And
he's been in trade rumors too, right? Don't forget that. So there's a lot of things with that outside of him just not being physically there with the team.
No, that was just the extra sour, lemony, bitter icing on an already poop cake from last night. It was an awful.
Well done.
Did I paint a picture there for you?
These are the Matty Ashisms. Every show, there's something that comes out.
So they were playing the Colorado Avalanche, and there's this own drama that was going on that you had to sort of figure out on the fly. Mika Rantanen hasn't had the season that maybe he would have liked. He's done fine,
right?
But he has, compared to the numbers from last season when he basically challenged for the Hart and challenged for other scoring titles, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He hasn't been quite that. So we heard from overseas that okay, I'm going to backtrack here a little bit.
Yep.
In the post game, he had a heck of a game. He scored a goal and logged two assists, uh-huh. 3 points on 8 shots, which yep. is a significant number.
It's huge, huge.
And so in the interview afterwards, just sort of out of the blue, he said all of this.
Feels good, you know, and there's actually one thing where I got a lot of extra energy. You know, one of our Finnish NHL players' dad was talking shit about me in media that I didn't train last summer like I used to do, and he was just making things up. So I think that was for him, you know. If you talk shit, it's gonna come back at you. So
okay, I will explain.
Break
so
it down.
The Finnish player that he is referring to, and I think everybody understands, is Arturi Lehkonen, his teammate.
Yeah.
Arturi Lehkonen's father is a bit of a hockey guy back in Finland. He coaches, he comments, he's a guy. And he basically gave an interview in Finland for a Finnish publication and criticized the Colorado Avalanche, what was going wrong with them, but also targeted Mikko Rantanen as well, said that mm-hmm. he didn't work. There were some implications. He didn't work hard enough in the offseason, blah, 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 blah. We're not going to get into the details. I think a lot of it gets lost in translation a little bit too, but guess who heard it? Mikko Rantanen heard all about this and made these comments and, you know, colorful language and all, decided to stick it to Arturi Lehkonen's dad, which, I mean, I think the Avalanche are going to be appreciative of. If anything, they need to set Mr. Lehkonen needs to get some flowers or a case of beer out of this, because he just basically inspired one of the Avalanche's players. And the good news, because yes. there are concerns about how this could affect a dressing room, we should mention Arturi Lehkonen isn't playing right now because he's
no,
hurt.
Neck okay? injury since early November.
We do hope to see him back. He's a heck of a hockey player,
yeah.
but he isn't playing right now. We have heard since that Rantanen and Lehkonen are fine. I guess they had a little bit of a chat. I'm sure it went, or I'm going to guess, I don't know anything. I'm going to guess it went something like this. Lehkonen says, "Man, Mikko, I'm sorry about my dad."
Right.
And he goes, "It's all right, bro. We good."
Right. Yeah. And it's one of those things. Hey, you can pick your friends, not your family.
No, so, exactly.
There
so,
you
I
go.
Mean, should Mr. Lehkonen have spouted off? No, of course he shouldn't have. You're not part of the organization. You just keep it quiet. You're making a mess. But at the same time, probably no harm, no foul by the end of the day.
No, and hopefully this is finished.
Ah, right. How long have you been sitting on that? Since before the podcast or right now?
About 5 minutes.
Right.
Yeah. Didn't listen to anything you said. I'm just kidding.
Just very good.
Just quick thought on that. I don't need to say anything more, but it's fine. I think it's fun. And the fact that everyone's okay with it now, move on, whatever. And hey, call him every time. Call him out all the time, because if it means he puts up all these points, Jared Bednar is going to be thrilled.
It certainly lit a fire. And
yeah.
you could tell, even the people were wondering if maybe Rantanen was joking a little bit, because
sure.
the Finns are very notorious for having a very dry
yes.
sense of humor.
Yeah.
So, and I think there was an element of it to that, but you could also tell he really did want to, it bugged him a bit.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure.
Right?
So, well, I think it would have bugged me a bit too.
Of course, but 3 points and 8 shots later, right?
Yeah.
So,
take
mission
that.
Accomplished.
The Central Division in the NHL. We're going to get the Pacific in a bit too. Vegas and Edmonton's playing well. And we talked a little bit about the Metro and the Atlantic. Haven't really touched on that, but there's a nice race in the Atlantic. But the Central, the aforementioned Avalanche, Dallas, Winnipeg, those top three teams separated by 2 points. Winnipeg having 2 games in hand on Colorado. Do you think about a lot of the games in hand right now? I don't know, but it's something to think about down the road. Nashville then 4 points back of Winnipeg. But the top three. And if you look at all that they're doing, they're scoring. Colorado was 100 goals, Dallas 95, Winnipeg with 85, and Winnipeg's been great defensively, allowing only 70, which I think is fantastic. They're all plus whatever in the plus-minus differential. And Winnipeg of the four, of the three, have been playing very, very good hockey. If you're not a fan of any of these teams, that's fine. I'd love to see this come down to the end. I really would. And yeah, you'll get the fifth and fourth team in that division trying to get in the wild card or the third spot. But I'd love to see if those three teams or whoever battle all the way to the end, because then you get the intra-division rivals or the games in the last, what, 2, 3, 4 weeks of the season, whatever it is. I like it. I thought some point Colorado would maybe start to take a step ahead, but these are three very good teams.
I think what's even in a great indication of how good they are is both the Dallas Stars and the Winnipeg Jets have showed signs of a little bit of wobble of late.
Yes. Yeah,
so
yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, it was the Jets. You're like, uh-oh, are the wheels coming off?
Yeah.
And then they won four straight, Ryan.
Yeah.
So the wheels did not come off. Dallas had a little bit of a rough go recently and then very emphatically beat the Detroit Red Wings on Monday night. And they look themselves once more and they look all fired up. And again, I think that is the sign of a top tier team when you can experience a little bit of non-success and you fumble and wobble a little bit.
Pick yourself and up and get going.
And you come back up and you look just as good as you did beforehand. And again, the Winnipeg Jets right now, they don't look unbeatable. Nobody's unbeatable, but they look quite formidable on the ice right now. And looking at the standings with only 2 points separating Colorado, the Stars, and the Jets, hey, they all have 9 losses, 8 losses, 8 losses.
Yeah.
So they're right there. And I do think there is that three, and we said this last week. I think we even said it the week before. Those top three, there is some separation. This is no offense to the Predators or anybody else, but I think there is that little bit of a gap
that we
don't necessarily see in the Atlantic, for example. Right. So it's it has been neat. And I do want to come down if they continue to all play the way that they have been playing. But even look at Colorado last night. Bad goaltending. Georgiev was awful. He just was.
Yeah.
Okay. And they still pulled it out and scored 3 goals in the third because they know how to win.
Yeah. Well said. I'm with you with that. 3-team race in that central. Nashville, Arizona. Yeah, you're playing well, but we shall see. By the way, the road records for Dallas and Winnipeg are very good. Dallas 9-3-2. Winnipeg is 8-3-1, but nobody really compares to the LA Kings. 11-1-1. The whole streak is done. It had to end at some point. The team was not going to go 41-0 on the road, which would have been just insane, but they're not going to happen. Anyway, hats off. Got a hat on again. I'm wearing hats a lot lately. I wore one last week. Anyway, whatever. That's fine. Still an amazing run. An amazing run that they had to go 11 straight without a loss to begin the season.
And then they hit New York.
New York
is just too much fun.
Yeah,
maybe.
It was a quick trip, right?
One loss.
Yeah.
So they played the Islanders and the Rangers. They lost one full on, and then they lost the other one in overtime. So they're now a very disgraceful 11-1-1 on the road.
Terrible team on the road. Yeah. Awful.
Now, hopefully, for fans of the Kings and the Kings themselves, this swings itself around and they start to win more at home. I think sometimes, again, it's just you break a habit and then you figure things out. You get a little bit of a jostle because they are such a great hockey team.
Yeah.
I know we talk about Vegas so much and we're going to talk about them more in a little bit. And they are such a great team. But to me, in the Pacific Division, the Kings are right there. And I would not have said that in September or October. But I don't think Vancouver's in the same league. I'm sorry, I don't. I just don't. I know people are going to argue with me about that. But I watch these games, and I think it's Vegas, and I think it's the Kings. And then it's Vancouver.
Hold on.
Right now.
So you wouldn't have picked then, in the beginning of the season, you wouldn't have picked LA in the top three?
Top three, yes.
Okay, so
not playing as well as they are playing,
okay,
and not looking as good as they look. So
right.
To me, they would have been number three for me because I had Vegas and Edmonton. I was Edmonton.
That's what I'm getting.
Kings.
At. Yeah.
And if somebody challenged any of those, it would have been the Kings, and then I would be handing the wild card to the Kings, right? So they were the third for sure. And I now would not be surprised in April if we're talking about Kings, Knights, Oilers, in that order. Honestly,
really?
The way that things are going right now.
So
Edmonton has to lose a game now. Like
LA,
right?
Yeah, of course they do. LA's 7 points back of Vegas, but you're thinking it could be LA Kings number one in that division. It's inevitable. It's going to be the Kings and Oilers in the postseason anyway. You know that's going to happen.
I would be more shocked by other things. Yes, though just watching how that team plays structurally, especially defensively, they just their depth.
No, I know.
But you know what though? I'm battling my own brain right now in live time. Vegas is very similar. They're very similar teams in that respect, in terms of they just stick to the plan. They play the plan. They've got great depth on defense, yeah. but they all play the same structure. They're always on the same page. And even when they're down two goals, they're not out of it. You know that they can come back. And that's what's been happening. We can actually flip right now. That's what's been happening with Vegas again. Vegas showed that little bit of a wobble that we were talking about earlier. They started to look a little human. You're like, oh, because they lost a couple of defenders. And Shea Theodore, well, Alec Martinez has been a while now, but two key guys are out on their blue line. You're like, how is this going to affect them? They showed a little bit. They showed themselves to be a little bit human. And now they've won three straight again because they're Vegas. And it's just again, a sign of a quality hockey team.
It's the point of them being so deep is one of the reasons why they won the Stanley Cup last season. Because they started, and everybody joked about it, 15 goaltenders over the course of the year.
Right.
I think it was 5. Aiden Hill came on. But the depth. I mean, I know in the postseason, Marchessault was fantastic. He won the Conn Smythe. Eichel was tremendous. But on the back end, third line, the fourth line, it doesn't matter what Bruce Cassidy did and the line that he put out. He knew that he was going to get whatever it was, 45 seconds, 50-second shift. Even if you didn't score, you're doing what you're supposed to do. And what you were saying about the team, they're a team. There's 32 in the league, but that team is a team. And keep this in mind, too. With the injuries they've had, the travel, the schedule, the pace of the schedule. So they've gone through 29 games going into, what day is today? Tuesday. Going into Tuesday, they're 2 points better this season than they were at this point last season. 2 points ahead. They're 43 points. They had 41 at this point of the season last year. And from what people have been saying, they had a bit of an easier schedule, not as taxing on the travel, and they were healthier. Again, that's a team.
Well, Jack Eichel looks himself again, too. He was off to a little bit of a slow start this campaign.
Love him.
I do, too.
Yeah.
And he wasn't on fire. He played fine. He was absolutely solid and very good to start the year, but now he is on fire. 4 goals, 8 assists in his last 8 games. Yep. So he is now the Jack Eichel that we become accustomed to, like he was in the last postseason run. And when you have everybody firing like that, Ivan Barbashev is starting to look good again. And he was such a key addition. Remember last year, Ryan? Now he's coming back on. Yep. So look out again. And it doesn't seem to matter who they start in net. Just the way that everybody plays out in front of them, Vegas is going to be tough. So yes, it's Vegas and the Kings for me, the top of that division. I still see some, I know people love Vancouver and I like Vancouver too. But when I watch them, there's a little bit of vulnerability there. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, there is. And maybe it's because Vancouver wasn't in this position last year, so we're not used to saying it. Oh, they're going to stay in this, but I'm with you with
maybe.
That. Of the teams, that is the one who you just still kind of look back. By the way, if you want to be clean cut, go to a Barbashev. That's what I say with that. That's two. Goodness. Hey, it's one per segment. Okay, let's carry on.
That one was from left field.
Yeah, no, I know.
Very
I know
nice.
It was. Yeah, Barbashev. Had that in my left pocket. Okay, last one. Connor McDavid and Connor Bedard, the two Connors, of course. Don't have to go into the details about how good these guys are. Tuesday in Edmonton, Bedard, two Connors. I really, really, look, Edmonton's trying to win their 8th straight. I really hope Bedard puts on an incredible show. I know the nerves. I remember the opening night, right? The opening night when he was featured, he was up against Crosby. And, hey, welcome. Good to see you again, Sid. Thanks. Welcome to the league. Thanks. And then Sid said good luck and all that. That was nervous. But going up against the best player in the world, it's going to be fun.
Connor Palooza? Connor Fest?
Yeah. Keep going.
No, that's all I got. It's I'm very much looking forward to it. So no prediction time. Does Bedard score?
No.
Does McDavid score?
I want
score?
Him to. Two.
McDavid scores two?
Yeah. Because it's Chicago. I'm sorry. Bedard's great talent, but around him.
No,
it's
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
I'm going to say there's one from each. We're going to see a McDavid. We're going to see a Bedard. But by the end of 60 minutes, the Oilers will have absolutely steamrolled.
Oh, yeah. No, it's going to be no con. And if it is a contest, we'll come back when we do this later on this week and we'll both say, hey, we said Edmonton was going to roll right
I'm
over Chicago.
I'm going to take that. What? If I was to wager on this, I would wager Bedard goal. I would wager McDavid goal. And I would take the over 5.5.
One of the incredible things about studs and stars in the league, number one, Bedard is already, and he's going to blossom into one. That's the type of talent that he has. But when you go to his home arena in Chicago and all 31 other arenas, And when the puck gets on his stick and you can feel that buzz in the arena, doesn't happen with everybody. McDavid, same thing, but Bedard, it's like, uh-oh, what's going to happen even if nothing does? Anyway, I'm rambling. Last one, Philly and Nashville. The Philadelphia Flyers, we talked about them a little bit already. They're in third in that Metro. Absolutely shocking. Nashville turned it around, 7 wins in the last 10. We were on them a bit, maybe 2-3 weeks ago, can't remember. But now there's nothing but good things to say about them.
I like how the Flyers, too, are owning the whole underdog,
sure,
not being taken seriously story. Nobody believes in us. Everybody thinks we're hot garbage and we're just going to win games anyways. You take on that attitude. Always reminds me of the Boston Red Sox the year that they won their first World Series.
Right.
It was that same attitude. No, it's all outsiders don't believe in us, but we got a great room and we're just going to continue to go out there. And they did win. So I love that. I don't think the Flyers have the talent to sustain this all season long, but I really do enjoy what they're doing right now. The fact that we're highlighting a game December between the Philadelphia Flyers and the Nashville Predators, it's because they are two of the better teams who are playing really good hockey
now. They deserve to be talked about.
And they deserve to be talked about, and that game deserves to be watched, and I'm going to watch it.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. A lot of games on Tuesday, and this has been a lot of fun. We got through it. We'll be back again later on in the week. Pucks and Seven, follow us on Twitter, to just Google our names and whatever. But we're also available wherever you get your podcasts, also in the SiriusXM app. Nice jersey. Way to go, JT. I guarantee you're going to put on the Panthers one next time we do this week.
Oh, I am now.
And I'm going to be absolutely... technical difficulties.
Right.
Can't do this anymore. On behalf of Vic, I'm Ryan. Enjoy the hockey. We'll talk soon.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.